grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the gospel lesson especially, that verse from the Old Testament, verse 5. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. This is the text. Sometimes pastors have to get up and say things that are completely contrary to everything we know as a culture and a society. Okay? This is one of them. We need a king. Sounds strange, doesn't it, in this land of freedom, democracy, and electing our own leaders, but there it is. We need a king. Why do we need a king? We need a king because in our lives we very often wander off from where we should be and what should be happening, and things go wrong. And we make mistakes, and we end up in a mess, and, well, very simply, we need a king for our lives, a king who is able to step in and say, no, not that way. A king who is able to then take our lives and steer them once again into the right direction. We need a king. Let's make it even stranger. And having a king, we would then truly have freedom. If that doesn't sound strange enough, let's picture this in worldly terms now. What would happen if a descendant of King George III got on a plane, came over to this country and said, you people in America, you got it wrong. You are not free. I am your king. And you will now do as I demand. That would not go over well, would it? But we need a king. We are Christians, and Christians are different from the other people of the world. And we need a king. We need a very specific king. We need a king that's different from the king of the rest of the world. Kings and potentates and emperors and everything else. Because, well, they don't have enough power. And what's even worse, they don't have enough knowledge. So the kings in this world, the kings that rule over people in this world, they rule them by force. And as they rule by force, eventually all of that power starts slipping away. So they have to use more force. And it becomes very unpleasant. They don't have enough knowledge. So the kings of this world, well, very often they think they know better than the people what should be happening with the lives of the people. But they don't. And when they get it wrong, there is incredible suffering. Even in our form of government, we have those in the seats of governmental authorities who think they know better than everybody else how the lives of the people should be lived. And they get it wrong, and bad things happen. But the answer is not to shrug off all authority and all power over us. The answer is that we need a king. But we need a king that is very different from the kings of this world. We need a king as described in these verses. A king coming to you, your king coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey. So, the king we need is the one who can come. And though he comes humble, though he rides in humbly to his people. He is the king who actually does have all power, all authority. He is also the king who knows. He knows us. He knows everything within us. He knows every talent and skill, every weakness and flaw. He knows our hopes, our doubts, our dreams, our fears. He knows everything that has gone right because it has gone right by His grace. He knows everything in our lives that has gone wrong. And He cares for and loves us. This is a different kind of king. He is the king that we need because He is the king who actually is there for us in every trial, in every difficulty, in every doubt, and in every trouble in our lives. He is the king who is there to hear and answer every prayer, every petition. He is the king who knows our prayers and our petitions and our needs even before we do. And He is the one who has prepared the answers, well, in advance of, before we even pray them. With all of that power, with all of that knowledge, with all of that ability, you would think such a king would be pretty proud and boastful of his abilities. But not so. This king comes humbly, riding in on a donkey. Big contrast with the kings of the world of that age, who would come riding in on a war horse with armies trampling down his opponents in front of him and coming in to reign and rule whether the people received him or not. This king comes. He comes to his people. He comes to win them, to purchase them. He comes to gather a kingdom. As we said a number of weeks ago, one soul at a time, calling each one individually into a personal, one-on-one relationship with Him, where individually we are known, we are cared for, and everything that we have, we can bring to Him. This king comes taking the lower place. So he would go into Jerusalem, and 4 days later, there he would be, setting aside his outer garments and taking a bowl of water and wrapping himself in a towel to stoop down on the floor and wash the disciples' feet. That's our king. Different. Because he makes himself the servant. Why he was there going into Jerusalem was to be the servant. To be the servant of all. Caring, bearing every need and every sin and every weakness, and carrying us through the cross, through death, and into life. That's our king. Humble and mounted on a donkey. Some years ago, got into a discussion with, it was the vicar, the student pastor at the time. I was involved in training him, and in our discussion, we explored the heights of theology we did that day. And we asked questions back and forth about Scripture, and one of those questions was, when Jesus is described as humble or meek, was that just Jesus the human being? Jesus doing the job of bringing salvation? Jesus lowering himself to the lowest place to bear the sins of the world and to bear the cross? Or is that also a description of Jesus as who he is? Jesus as God, the second person of the Trinity. Then it got real interesting, because how do you describe God as humble and meek? And yet there were those verses in the Bible. And so for a while we talked back and forth and we explored this whole thing. Can you describe this second person of the Trinity as humble? Can you describe God the Son as meek? How does that work? And finally, looking at all of the verses that we could find, we came back and we said, yeah, that is a description of who Jesus is. And he didn't have to get born into the world Christmas, taking on a human body. He didn't have to do that to take that aspect of his personality. He's the humble God. What a strange idea. But then we started looking at more and more verses. And we ran into verses that talk about, well, God creating mankind. And this one from Proverbs talks about Jesus rejoicing and celebrating human beings being created. Jesus comes into the world, and how does he come into the world? Born in a stable, laid in a manger. Who does he associate with? Sinners. The humble, the outcast. He touches the lepers. He eats with, well, tax collectors and notorious sinners. And who does he call to be his disciples? The priests and the students of theology? Now, fishermen, a tax collector, and a variety of others. The first person to see him on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Jesus, who takes the humblest place. And this is who our King is. And realizing that this is who our King is, then, well, you absolutely have to say, this is a completely different kind of King. Not the arrogant, not the proud, but actually a King who cares about each one of his people, who suffered and died for us, and not only for us, who bled and died for even those who reject him, even those who are his enemies, even Judas who betrayed him, even Peter who denied him, even the soldiers who swung the hammers to drive the nails through his hands and his feet. This is our King. Completely different from all other kings. And realize, we have two parts in our Christian faith that are so very wonderful. Not only is it true that he is the king who rules all things, who has the right to guide my life, and sometimes will step in and guide my life in ways that I never would have chosen and never would have dreamed of, but he is, out of all that there could be, out of all the different people that there could be, he is the one who I would want ruling over my life. So when I say, he is my king, that's not only a confession of truth, it is also saying before the world that this is the most wonderful thing that could possibly be for me personally. This king, riding into Jerusalem, rides into the city for the salvation of the whole world, for the forgiving of the sins of every human being who has ever lived or will ever live, and even for the forgiveness of those who will not know him. In Jesus' name. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.